We are live from the home of the Jaguars inside Everbank Field at Draft Central. This is Inside the Jaguars, a 2013 Draft Rewind. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osier. Boy, a busy 3 days here.
Got to know each other a little bit this weekend, right?
I believe so. Us and our whole crew here right. have been working diligently, bringing you the latest on the Jaguars draft.
And what a weekend, by the way. Yeah. I mean, 3 days, it's been hectic, it's been crazy, but I think this team's made a lot of strides.
This was the first draft, of course, for general manager David Caldwell, head coach Gus Bradley. But for Dave, especially, a guy who came through the ranks, mm-hmm. through the league, and finally gets a chance at his own board, what are your thoughts about this draft?
Well, we talked a lot before the draft about how, although the Jaguars had had free agency, they had signed guys, and they like those guys. But the draft, the first draft for general manager, is really the time he gets to put his stamp on the team. He had been with the Colts, with the Falcons. He had been in an assistant capacity there. But this was his first chance to grab 7, 8, 9 guys, who wound up being 8, and really sort of start establishing the core, along with Gus Bradley. But the draft, as we all know, it's really about the GM.
They followed their plan really to a T, draft the best available player mm-hmm. at need spots. Right. And they did that from the first round all the way to the end. Of that.
Well, I don't want to say they had a blank canvas, but they had a canvas that you could work on as a GM. And he has said over the weekend, the idea was to try to fill need with value. He talks to them about a need-value meeting. And in most of the picks, especially early, 4th, 5th, you know, by the first 4 or 5 guys, it looks like he did that.
5 of the 8 picks in this draft for the Jaguars were defensive, and they were all in the secondary. And that kind of speaks to one of the big needs, certainly on defense, with a lot of the names that disappeared after last mm-hmm. season. Had to have some players back.
Well, it speaks to Gus Bradley's philosophy a little bit. And by that, I mean, he believes that the secondary has to be able to be aggressive, has to be of a certain type that can go up and play some press. He says it's not going to all be press, but he likes the safeties that can come up and be physical, and he likes corners that can be physical. He believes that that helps the pass rush. They didn't get a pass rusher. They know they would have liked to, but they feel like if they had that sort of secondary player, that that can help these pass rushers get better.
It started on Thursday night at Radio City Music Hall. The number 2 overall selection to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Luke Jokel, the tackle from Texas A&M. Eric Fisher made a late climb to the number 1 spot out of Central Michigan to the Chiefs. So Jokel came down to the Jaguars. This is really a cornerstone type of selection, and this guy is going to define this class for a long time.
Well, as you were saying it, Luke Jokel seems like a long time ago right now.
It does, yeah, absolutely.
And you mentioned cornerstone. He's clearly a cornerstone selection. Right now he's right tackle. Maybe he stays there. But when you take an offensive tackle in this day and age, you are talking about a cornerstone selection. And they believe that the addition of Luke Jokel is going to make the entire offensive line better. By definition, that makes the entire offense better. Gus Bradley just talked about it a lot. He thinks that by having that extra pass protection, you can give Blaine Gabbert a little more time. That should, or Chad Henne a little more time,
right.
But that should give either quarterback more time, and the passer rating goes up incrementally the more seconds they have, they talk about, the fewer pressures they have. So I think they're very excited to see how the extra pass protection allows these quarterbacks, maybe Blaine Gabbert, to develop.
Well, they're going to sink or swim either way, those quarterbacks, right?
We'll
get a fair shot either way.
Well,
right?
and I think a lot of fans expect a quarterback. You hear a lot of offseason chatter. The two quarterbacks did not have great years last year. So there was an expectation, are you going to draft Geno Smith? Are you going to take Matt Barkley? And then as they started coming off the board today, oh, my goodness, why aren't they taking those guys? Dave Caldwell said it best last night. They believed there were more needs on this football team in the first 2 days to fill. And then once you got to the point today, they didn't feel like once they didn't take a quarterback in the first couple of days, let's see what Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert can do. Let's not worry about that position right now. Let's get better in other places where we need to add depth and speed.
One more note on Jokel. David Caldwell said that it's not just a safe pick. This guy's a really good football player, and he made that point after that selection on Thursday. Day 2 came along on Friday. The Jaguars had the 33rd overall selection, the top of the 2nd round. There was a little speculation that could be a trade possibility, but the Jaguars went ahead and selected anyway. Jonathan Cyprian, a safety out of Florida International. They've been looking at him for a long time, and they finally got him off the board.
Well, and there was some disappointment among fans. Why didn't you trade back at some of those spots? And there wasn't much buzz in the war room about that. Dave Caldwell said they didn't get as many calls as they expected. At the same time, could they have solicited more and gotten back a little more if they'd really tried? Sure. But I think Gus Bradley made the point all weekend. They had met some of these guys. They had some guys that they were targeting that they liked. So all of a sudden you're saying, well, let's just go ahead and get the guy we want. Let's get a guy we feel good about. And Ciprin's a guy who certainly fits that bill because he's an aggressive safety. He's a guy that they feel like fills that strong safety position. And it was a position they didn't have coming in. So all of a sudden you can put in more of your defense. You can start playing the defense that Gus Bradley feels like he wants to play.
The evening moved along. It was the second and third rounds on Friday night. And in that third round, the 64th selection overall, which is the second pick of that round, was Dwayne Gratz, the cornerback out of UConn, a guy that Gus Bradley had met in person as he had really the first five picks of this draft. We'll get to that a little bit later. But he went to the spring, almost the spring day at UConn, and worked them out and fell in love with him instantly.
Well, and the Jaguars evidently put a lot of stock into those because they went to a lot of them. They wound up picking a lot of the guys that they had visited and gotten a good feel for. About Gratz, they said he's not necessarily the prototypical size corner that Gus Bradley likes, but he's a good combination of size and speed, and he can be physical. You get the idea that they really want this secondary to be physical because that will give the pass rush more time to get home.
With a clean draft through 2 days, no trades or anything, we move to today, the final day with the final rounds, four through the very end, and we saw some surprises today. Right out of the gate, the Jaguars had the first selection of the fourth round today, but traded it to the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles selected Matt Barkley, the quarterback from USC. The Jaguars got the 101st pick, just a few picks down, selected Ace Sanders, the wide receiver kick returner from South Carolina. They also got a seventh round pick, which they selected later in the day. But right away, that trade scenario, before the clock could even get through five minutes, was gone.
Well, and some fans kind of asked me on Twitter, why didn't they get more out of it? Well, they moved back three spots. You pick up a seventh rounder, and then you're not, you know, you've got one more guy that you're not worried about getting in a collegiate free agency. Ace Sanders is a guy. It's interesting. A lot of times when teams draft a punt returner, there's a lot of lip service given. Well, he can play wide receiver too. The kid wants to play wide receiver, but the team sort of knows no. That's not the case here. Both Jerry Sullivan and Jed Fish, from what Dave Caldwell said, talk about liking this guy. They feel like he can fit into what the offense is going to be, and it'll give them a little extra dimension that maybe they didn't have.
Speaking of wide receivers and dimensions, we go to Denard Robinson, who was the selection in the fifth round for the Jaguars, the former Michigan quarterback turned wide receiver, turned running back. He will be listed as a running back here, but he's going to play a number of different spots.
And boy, did Twitter blow up on that one.
Absolutely.
I mean, you talk about a guy with some rock star potential. He's a guy that he got hurt late in his senior year. There was always sort of a question, could he play running back? Was he going to play receiver? What was he going to be in the NFL? It sounds like the Jaguars are going to start him at running back, possibly use him at receiver. And I think it'll be a learning process, a development process to see exactly where he plays. It was fascinating to listen to Dave Caldwell in that press conference, though, if you weren't in there. Every GM sort of got players he likes. And when you asked Dave Caldwell about Al Robinson, when he started talking about him, there was a huge smile. He said after he got him, Thomas Dimitroff called him and said, I figured you were going to get that guy. So his face really lit up. He likes this kid. He and Gus Bradley both like what this guy brings. He's evidently an energetic guy. He's great to be around. So once again, it's a case where he fits what this whole theme is, the juice, as Gus Bradley just talked about. So he's a guy who fits that, but boy, does Dave Caldwell like this pick.
Now here's the question. Is an untied shoelace an NFL uniform policy? Is that against the rules?
I'm just hoping it's not a senior rider violation, right?
That's right, because we'd all be in trouble.
We'd be in trouble.
That's for sure. You know, you mentioned a little bit earlier we talked about Gus had met most of these top, at least the first five rounds, in person. That's very vital to this process for Gus.
Well, boy, that really struck me because I've been around drafts where when you talk to the coach afterward, you get the idea that, you know, he was sitting in the draft room and maybe knew the numbers, maybe knew the name, maybe had seen some film. But he was looking forward to meeting the guy when he came in. I've heard that a lot. Well, yeah. Gus Bradley, especially with these first three guys, he knew exactly what these guys were about. He had talked to them. He had stories to tell of the meeting with the guy. And at first I thought, well, okay, that's interesting. But then when you started thinking about it, Gus Bradley wants to build a foundation here, and all he's talked about for 3 months is, I want certain kinds of guys. I want to establish something. I want competitive guys who love football. Well, that's evidently more than an intangible to Gus. He wanted to know these, and especially with the first three picks of the draft, it was important enough to him that it stands to reason that it must have played a role in the decision-making around here.
The remaining picks of the day in the sixth-round, Florida safety Josh Evans, leading tackler for the Gators a year ago. Seventh round, those two picks, Jeremy Harris, the cornerback from New Mexico State, and Demetrius McCray out of Appalachian State, just really rounds out the theme of speed and depth
speed,
in the secondary.
Speed, depth, competition. We've got to get guys because there were three corners who left out of here by whatever happened. So all of a sudden they needed numbers there. Gus Bradley likes corners. He likes competition there. So you wanted to get guys in there. Special teams, special teams, special teams.
Absolutely. Okay, John, the process isn't over. The draft is.
Right.
But college free agency begins tonight, Saturday, going into Sunday. But really, they'll be announced late Saturday night.
And this is a busy time back there, by the way.
No doubt about it.
Scouts are making calls. Head scouts are making calls. I would imagine – you know Gus Bradley a little bit. I think he's probably on the phone doing some recruiting. He's probably pretty good at that.
I think so.
I mean, that's surely going to come into play. And as we mentioned throughout the weekend, it's a fascinating process because these guys who haven't been drafted, sure they want to be drafted. In a lot of cases, it's better not to be drafted. This is a case where that could be. Also, these scouts, and I would bet David Caldwell and people, have talked to some of these picks beforehand and let them know, if you don't get drafted, this is a good place to be right now. This is a very good place to make the team as an undrafted free agent. That has to come into play because these guys are not guaranteed jobs.
You know, you can always think of a positive story of a college free agent doing well.
Sure.
Even last year, Mike Brewster was a
right.
guy that was – he
Russell
thought
Allen.
He was going to be drafted. Allen's
yep.
the same way. You could go on and on for
mm-hmm.
that. You know, Gus will get these guys on the field pretty quick. They'll be here Thursday for media availability, the draft picks – all of the free agents as well. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is rookie mini camp just outside of Everbank Field here in Jacksonville. So they'll get a chance to meet Gus really quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And I was just thinking as you said that, can you imagine being a rookie free agent on the phone right now? And when Gus Bradley gets you on the phone, how are you going to say no to that, right?
That's right.
I mean, and I don't know that that'll sway every guy, but I have to think that that's a card the Jaguars are going to play. I'm sure Gus Bradley is not heading home yet.
John, it's been a pleasure covering this draft with you.
It's been a lot of fun, JP. I think it's a good weekend for the Jaguars. I think they got better, and from listening to Dave Caldwell, they certainly got faster, which was the main goal.
Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, JP.
John Osher is the senior writer for Jaguars.com. That will do it for our coverage of the 2013 NFL Draft as the Jaguars take 8 players. It started with Jokel. It ended today with a 7th-round pick, McCray, and the Jaguars signing free agents as we speak. Thanks for watching throughout the weekend. For our whole production crew, for John Osher, this is JP Shadrick. The Jaguars are finished in the 2013 NFL Draft.